Brother Laren asked me to do this. I'll just be honest with you. The first thought that came to my mind, me and Brother Brad talking, it's just being honest, this ain't right, and it ain't the way it should be, but I was thinking, I don't think Brother Brad's preaching this Sunday. He should probably ask him. I'm serious. That was the first thought, and the Lord let me know that wasn't going to work. About sometime in February, I guess it was, we probably won't get very deep into this. The Lord burdened me, and it felt like I was going to die. And it was just to study out something. And I didn't think that I was going to have to preach on it or anything. I thought maybe one day we'd have to look at it a little deeper and maybe try to teach on it. But y'all just pray for me that the things said, it'll be pleasing to the Lord first and foremost. But we want to look... We'll start reading the Great Commission, 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. It's very important that we try our best to be able to teach the things of which we believe. If you look on our church covenant, it mentions baptism up there. It's important that we know what it represents, and the different things about it. We know that when someone joins the Lord's church, they're baptized in the Lord's church, but it's important that we know what the word baptism means. It's a big controversy, not in this rank, not necessarily with Missionary Baptists, but just in general, on what the word means and everything. But we'll read... the 16th chapter, or 16th verse of 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we'll go down. I thought this was interesting when I looked up about, I don't know, there's no telling how many words and pages I've ripped out trying to dig through this because I want to get it right because it's important. Our name is out there, Hilltop Missionary Baptist. So it's important that we try to get these things right when we study them and try to teach them. But, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And when I read that, the first time... Of course, we read it where it talked about baptizing, but when I read it, it mentions the word teach in there twice. And the first verse we read, disciples, if you look up the strong meaning for that word, it's learners. That's what it means. I thought that was interesting that, you know, us sometimes we'll think our job is just to teach, but we should be learning along the way. If you was to read it in that manner, it's in the learners out. I thought that was really interesting that we should never get ourselves in a spot to where we're unable or unwilling to try to learn stuff about the Word of God. The Bible's got a lot in it. There's a lot to learn. But I thought that was really interesting. When the Word's translated, disciples, it's learners as well. But he told them to go teach the different things as far as baptism. We'll go... Before we get started, we'll try to go read where Jesus was baptized. We'll probably read it out of the third chapter of the book of Matthew. But the book of Matthew, we may go to John on it as well to try to get a location. We tried our very best to get the location of where Jesus was baptized in it. But if you wanna read with me, the third chapter of the book of Matthew. We'll read the 13th verse, and we'll read throughout the rest of the chapter. If you guys have any input or anything of that nature, there's a lot of you here that's much more fitting to teach on this than I am. Any kind of input or anything at all would be a help. But then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer now to be so, for thus it becometh
us to
fulfill all righteousness than he suffered. When Jesus was baptized, he went straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." That's where Jesus was baptized. And the word baptism, or it means immersion, is what it means. It means immersion. And the word immersion, I've got the definition over here. I'll read it. The act of putting into a fluid below the surface, the act of plunging into a fluid until covered. And we believe that's what happened. That's a verse of Scripture that we can take. We do not believe in sprinkling. We believe that baptism, or water baptism, has to be completely submerged under. And we believe that Jesus was here because it said he straight away came out of the water. So we believe that's why we believe that. Where the baptism had happened in the Jordan River. This is the part that I'd kind of struggled with, I guess you could say, a little. In John's account right here, it says, "These things," 28th verse, "these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, seeing Jesus coming, and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" And Bethabara, from the best of my ability to be able to look at it, and a lot of preachers preach it when they say it, which it means Bethany beyond Jordan. And if you was to look at it on a map, the Jordan River is, I think it's 156 miles long, is how long the Jordan River. It runs from the Dead Sea to the Sea of Galilee. And I guess it would be about 6 miles north is where the baptismal site of Christ is looked at. And it's about 6 miles west of the city Jericho. We believe that's where Jesus was to be baptized. We do not believe that's the only place that John had baptized. We'll read a verse of Scripture in the third chapter of John, but it's important that when we administer baptism, that it is the believer has to be completely submerged under the water. And I believe more than likely this verse of Scripture, when you dig down into it, John was probably in this area of preaching the gospel and different things. But I want us to notice what it says here. "And John also was baptizing in Anon near Salem, because there was much water, and they came and were baptized." It says they were much water. Throughout the Scriptures, if you look, we may go read it. I don't want to keep y'all flipping, but we may go read it. How it's important that when we baptize the church, of course, you have to have some things in order to be able to administer a baptism. You got to have a proper candidate, and we'll try to get into that a little bit, and a proper administrator and a proper authority before you go to baptize anybody. But when you do, it's important. It's important that the candidates completely submerge underwater. I know that's what we look at, but that's not the only picture to be seen in it. So, I want to read where in the book of Acts, where Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This gives us about three accounts where we believe there had to be a proper amount of water. Also, the Jordan River, when we read about it, much like many of our rivers, they'll create ponds and pools and different things where the water runs off of them, and they baptized in those. So when it dried up, they didn't have a sufficient enough amount of water to be able to perform a baptism. Just like if the creek down below Brother Barry's house was to dry up, we would have to administer a baptism somewhere else. That could have been some of the reason that John was baptizing elsewhere. But notice what it says here in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. We'll read down through here. We just want to try to get a picture of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. And also a question that he asked Philip. Of course, Philip, he'd done preach to this man. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom the speak the prophet of himself. The 34th verse, 8th chapter. When Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, and they went their way, and they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hindereth me from baptizing? Philip, thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still and went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip and eunuch and saw him and went on his way rejoicing. Any comments? Try to slow down a little bit and give you all time. Any comments or questions or anything like that you want to give one of these other brothers? So there's about three accounts to where, and what it represents, the only proper way would be a completely immersed in water. And what baptism, what it represents, we understand it represents it's an outward showing of an inward grace, something that's happened on the inside. That you let the word, it's more than that too. It represents more. There's a beautiful, each time that we try to go to the water's edge, if all we're really looking at is whether somebody's feet's coming up or whatever that it may be, we're missing such a beautiful picture of Christ. Two ordinances of church is what? Baptism and the Lord's Supper, right? And baptism, what it represents is the burial and resurrection of our Lord. You can find that in the 6th chapter of Romans. But if we look a little deeper in here, it's an outward showing. I don't want to miss this because there's verses in the Bible that people try to take and controvert that what was saying here is you have to be saved and baptized to get to heaven, which is completely not true. If that was the case, if there was anything extra that had to be done when Jesus saved our soul, then we was never saved to the uttermost to begin with, and therefore it wasn't done in perfection. So without salvation, there is no water baptism about it at all. You have to be saved before you can be baptized. And baptism, what it represents, that you have died to sin. A lot of places they'll baptize babies and infants and different things. And we know, and the scriptures teach, that dunking in water is a picture of something. It does not wash away sin. And a baby, they haven't died to sin because they don't have the conscience to even know that what it is or it exists. So we have to rule out them things, and we have to understand why we believe what it is that we do believe. Any comments or anything on that?
I know I've heard some that believe in the necessity of baptism, you know, for salvation. And what they're looking at is they're saying, well, you don't bury something that's alive, and said before we were baptized, you're dead in your sin, and then that brings you to life. You're not baptized when you're dead in your sin. You're baptized after you're dead to sin.
Amen. Dead to sin. Amen.
When we get saved, at that point we become dead to sin.
Yep.
Amen.
Sin no longer has dominion.
Amen.
Death no longer has dominion. And then so we're dead when you're saved, before you're baptized, you're dead to sin. Your soul is sealed, whether you look at it as a fruit jar seal or a ring of a king with a seal.
Yep.
The seal of God. But we're sealed.
Amen. Amen.
So we're dead to sin.
Yep.
So that's who we baptize, those that are dead to sin.
Amen.
Not dead in our sin.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why John wanted That, are you dead? Do you see it yet? You got any fruit to bring forward?
Yeah. We'll go over and read what he's talking about it's in Matthew is where we'll read it from, where he's there was a requirement that had to be made before John would baptize them, and I believe that John didn't baptize some here because they didn't meet the requirements that it took. But we'll start reading in the third chapter of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that is spoken of the prophet Esaias." And when you look at what that word is, I've heard people say Elijah, but it actually means Isaiah. Of course, Isaiah was prophesied about John. I think it's about the 40th chapter when he prophesied about John coming and say what he's about to say right here. But the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way for the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And when he went into Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptizing them in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So he's baptizing right now, but this other group of individuals had came to him. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he asked them a question. He said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Notice the 8th verse. "Bring forth fruit, therefore fruits, meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." John was baptized, and then he pretty much went to preaching to the Pharisees and Sadducees. From anything that I could gather, they was never baptized because they never gave a prop. Like when we join the Lord's church, we give a testimony of salvation, like we said, an outward showing of an inward grace. And it's a beautiful picture. We'll try to rush through this, but it's a beautiful picture. And it talks about putting on a newness of life and different things, but it's a picture of when Christ, when his burial, when he was buried, when we go under the water, that we're buried with him, like he said, and then we raise up out of the water, it's a picture of his resurrection. That when we go down the water, that's such a beautiful picture when you think about it, all the things. And I mean, when you see that, it's such a blessing. And it's important that we teach exactly what it is, because we never want to get it entwined that you have to be baptized to go to heaven or anything. You have to be born again. A lot of people, too, they'll take the scripture from the third chapter of the book of John, which, you know, me personally, I don't think it had anything to do with baptism when he told Nicodemus that you had to be born of water and of the Spirit. People take them verses and they'll try to use them to prove that you have to be water baptized to get to heaven, which I believe he was talking about the birth of the flesh when he said that. People have different thoughts and opinions on that. So it's important when we teach these things, it's important to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. Any thoughts on any of that?
I'm just glad to see you're willing to look at this subject and manage it. Are you a preacher? Most of our preachers don't even preach nothing to do with baptism anymore because they're scared to death of it. They're scared either they're going to be pointed out to be a camelite somehow, or they're scared to death that they're going to misuse it some way. And through the years, because we've not taught on baptism and the importance of baptism, so and what it means to us as Baptists, it's got lost along the way. And we shouldn't be scared of the subject. We're Baptists.
Yep.
And it's plainly teaches us why we're doing this. And I think you do an awesome job. And I'm thankful that you're willing, and to study this out, because you're going to need this kind of information. I mean, so are we. And I appreciate you studying on it. Keep the study.
It is something that's, I don't want to say hard, but there's a lot of controversy with baptism outside of a missionary baptism, and even inside some of them. A lot of controversy there, but that gives us no excuse to dodge or stray away, because it's important. You know, it's important even when it's preached. I've heard a lot of preachers say they want to see people saved, not only saved, but they want to see them unite with the Lord's church and follow in baptism. So it's important that we try to dig into it. We probably try to rush it a little bit, given the amount of time. But any other thoughts or questions, we can talk it out some other time. If not, I know Brother Jeff probably won't get around. Everybody's coming in. Y'all pray for me next Sunday. I'll be in Ohio next Sunday, and then Cato the Sunday after that. Hope that you get something out of it, and I hope next time that maybe, if the Lord's will, that we get to go to the water's edge, we'll be able to see Christ in everything we do, not just baptism. We'll be able to see the burial and resurrection. Of course, the Lord's Supper representing the death. A lot there, and we try to brush through it really quick. But we'll just hold off there, and we'll shut her down there. I love y'all.